imagine being the only man at the head table. I'm getting my workout. I'm sorry I didn't introduce Stan Gilliam, who is here with me, who is our ministry coordinator. He's up making sure that you can hear all right. Both of my grandparents, or my grandparents on both sides of my family, were born in Holland. And so you can imagine that this is a very wonderful day for me because, being of Holland descent, we're awfully proud of one of the great ladies of that country and one we've adopted here in the United States. And I was so delighted to meet both Corey and Ellen this summer. And I was in a press conference where Corey was being interviewed by a lot of members of the press. And I watched her intently because she was ready with the answers before they were finished with the questions. And that impressed me. And at 82 years of age, it should impress anyone. And to fulfill that promise she made to her sister, she has been traveling now these many years from country to country and from group to group to share the love of Christ. And we're very honored that she would be with us this weekend. And we're very happy that you came to enjoy this special treat with us. I saw her for a few minutes yesterday, and she was looking at her schedule. Next weekend, she'll be with Youth for Christ in Kansas City, and then she's going someplace else, and then she's going someplace else. And this summer, she has personally supervised the filming of the story of her life, which will be released hopefully by the end of the year. It's been produced by the Worldwide Pictures organization, and she has made certain that it's authentic in every detail and has made them shoot some film over to make certain that it was authentic in every detail. And so she is intensely interested in that film and the many lives that it's going to touch, and I know that you want to be praying for that. And we're hoping that it will be released by the end of the year so that there is a possibility it could be nominated as an Academy Award film, which would be the first time that that would happen to a Christian film. And so I simply would like to say, here is Tanti Corey. Welcome her to Denver, will you?
Thank you so much. Thank you. What a joy to be introduced in this way. No, I have experienced many things in the 27 years that I have been a tramp for the Lord, but they have never given me tulips made from the shells of eggs. I'm very happy with it, and also especially I'm very happy with that song. But is that beautiful? And it's so true. And I felt almost guilty that I so often worry. And I thought of that little poem that I have in my room in Holland, said a robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said a sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me." Yes, I don't know if you know that rascal, worry. I know him. Even yesterday, I had still a visit from that man, or how you will call them, that worry. No, I had a heart that was heavy of all the things I had to care for and the worries. Do you know how that feels? Your heart is so heavy of all the things that you are trying to carry. And then I read in the Bible that beautiful text, Don't worry about anything whatever. Tell God every detail in happy and thankful prayer, and the love of God, which transcends all human understanding, will fill your heart with His peace. Now, when I read something in the Bible, then when it is right with me, I immediately do it. And I really, my heart was feeling as heavy as this case. And I said, all right, Lord, now I'm going to tell you everything. Now, first, here is that schedule of these dear people here in Denver. Oh, Lord, it is so much. But, Lord, here it is. I give you that whole schedule. And you must just make that it comes all right. And, Lord, here's my age. Sometimes I feel 82, and I am 82. So, Lord, here is my strength and my lack of strength. Here it is, Lord. You have said I must cast it on you, so I do it. Lord, here are all these letters that Alan got. Oh, I have so many friends over the whole world. And they write beautiful letters, but also many write letters that they need help. And there's much to arrange. I said, Lord, here is all the mail of yesterday. Oh, no, the mail of the last week. And so I went on. I brought also my worry. I think that when you go to unburden your heart, that you will also find here or there a little sin. Perhaps a big sin. But a sin. For a sin can burden your heart so much. That's not necessary. For we must bring also that burden on the Lord. And we have the answer in Jesus Christ. But, and the Bible tells us, when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all the sins we confess. I said, Lord, here's my warning, will you forgive me? And so I went on, and I put everything in prayer to the Lord, till my heart was empty, just as empty as this bag. And then I said, Amen. That was praying. That was good. But do you know what was not good? What I did after my Amen. You know, my heart was heavier after my prayer than before. And I fear that you know about such a stupid way of praying. No, it is such a joy that we may pray and that we are able to pray. Perhaps some of you say, now I don't know quite how to pray. And I sometimes have difficulty with it. And that helped me so very much, a little story that I heard over the radio in Holland from a little African boy. Someone said to him, boy, you must pray. He had never prayed in his life. So he went home, and in the corner of of the cabin where he lived, he sat down, and he knew when you pray, you fold your hands and you close your eyes. And he did. And then he started, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. His mother said, what are you doing, boy? He said, Mom, I must pray, but I don't know how. And now I have said, Jesus, I will give you all the letters of the alphabet. You must make a good prayer of it. Wasn't that good? That boy understood, perhaps better than you and I, what Paul says in Romans 8. We do not know often how to pray. But the Holy Spirit Himself prays for us and teaches us how to pray. And that makes that the life with the Lord is so relaxed. And I'm so glad that I may tell you a little bit of what I have experienced from here. You are sitting about 1,000 ladies. Many of you, I don't know, perhaps every one of you, a child of the light. When you are a child of God, when you have received Jesus as your Savior, immediately you are a child of the light of the world. And the world is very, very dark. I have not to tell you that. You know it. You know it when you read the newspaper, when you hear the radio and you see the TV. Oh, we have never been in such a dark time. And is there hope for a better world? When you read the newspapers, you fear. But we have something more than the newspapers. And here we read the plan of God. And in this book, we know the answer. Who is it that overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. See, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Then you are the one who has a world to overcome. This world, this dead, ill, sick world, will be overcome by you and me. That is the plan of God. God has no problems with his world, only plans. There's no panic in heaven. And I like that little poem that I learned in your country. My life is like a weaving between my God and me. I do not choose the colors. He works steadily. Oft times he weaves sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the skillful weaver's hands than the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. And that is the answer for your and my problems and the problems in the world. There is a tremendous riches in the Word of God. And I will just praise the Lord and talk a little bit about what it means to have a Jesus who died at the cross for our sins and finished all. For the sins of the world, also for your and my sins. And that we have a Jesus who is alive, who is with us always till the end of the world. And a Jesus who once will be glorified in this world. The best is yet to be. And that is the great joy that we have in this book, the pattern of God's plan. And we are citizens of heaven. Our hope goes beyond this world to the hopeful expectation of the coming of the Lord. And we know when we read the Bible and the newspapers together that all the signs of the times are there, that we can expect Jesus very, very soon. And I'm so glad that when I say that, many of your faces are so happy. For it will be a joy to see him face to face. Oh, there's hope for you, there's hope for this world. Once there's coming someone who has said, I will make everything new. And then this world will be covered with the knowledge of God, like the waters cover the bottom of the sea. That's what the book tells. I heard a pastor tell, he said, I do not like so much to read a book where things are sad and dark and terrible things are happening. But you know what I always do? When I have such a book, I always just look a moment at the last chapter and the last page. And then I read, oh, they get each other and they live together very happy for the rest of their life. No, so then I can also read the rest of the book. See, this book tells us sad things that are happening now and are going to happen before Jesus comes. And when you are when you tremble and when you are afraid, do then what this pastor did and read the last page. And there you read that the best is yet to be. And we have to go through a time of darkness and sin, but then we will see the future. And that future is beautiful. And you and I, we have the answer for the problems in the hearts of men. For the future and for now. For this moment, everyone here has two huge problems. And that is the problem of sin and of death. And Jesus is the answer. For he died for us and carried our punishment. And he gives us everlasting life. So we have an answer for the world. And to be ready for Jesus coming, the Bible says, who has this hope purifies himself like he is pure. And when we know that plan of God, we must be very sure that when Jesus comes, that we are at peace with God and with men. And that is possible for everyone here in this hall. Because Jesus is willing to do it. When I strive to be so good that I will not have any fear to meet Jesus, then I find out that the enemy is stronger than I, coward and wayward and weak. I change with a changing sky, today so eager and brave, tomorrow not caring to try. But he never gives in, and we too will win, Jesus and I. And that is why you and I can be ready even when Jesus should come tonight. And the only thing is that we must lay our weak hand in the hands of Jesus and ask him, search me, O Lord. And then the Lord will show you that there is some sin in your heart. There are two ways to know your sins. One way is when the accuser tells you your sins. And the accuser, the devil, makes you despair. And I see here faces of people where I see that you are worried about your sin because you have listened to the devil who tells, now this you are, and so you are, and that's not exactly your character, and there's no hope for you, and it will never be better. But the devil is a liar. The Holy Spirit tells perhaps more strict what sin there is. Pride, jealousy, a little decent sin in the eyes of God is a decent sin just as big as an indecent sin. And whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, the Lord says, you may not go on like that. But then he always tells it to you in the floodlight of the finished work at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my sins rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I have guidance every day. Listen to the Holy Spirit and then do what the Bible says. Confess your sins and be cleansed. And the Lord is willing to make you ready. But in the meantime, there is a work for you and me to do. We must be realistic. And we know that there is so much sin and darkness and danger. The world is perhaps more terrible. I can perhaps see it better how terrible it is than you, than some of you. Because I have been in so many countries. And I was in Africa where I heard that asked if it's true that there are 10,000 Christians killed. And they said, oh yes, that is true, but it's also true that this year 200,000 Christians were killed. We didn't know that. There is terrible much persecution in this time. And I believe that God is training his army. And you are, when you belong to the Lord Jesus, a soldier of Jesus Christ. And you have to be ready for a still greater coming of struggle and difficulties. And the Bible gives you everything that you need to be victorious. You have nothing to fear. And I believe that in this time we must try to gather the richness of the Bible, to put our wealth in the stores. I mean this, when I read text in the Bible, God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. I write it down. I think that can help me when the times will be more serious than now. When I read, God himself will wipe away the tears from the eyes. The suffering of this time is not worthy to be compared with the coming glory. All these things I write down and I learn by heart. You must do that too. That is, that as if you gather your army for a greater struggle and fight that you and I have to fight. And don't be afraid. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will fill you, your heart to the brim, then you have not a spirit of fear, and then you will not fear. Even when the earth were removed and the mountains thrown into the heart of the sea, just cash your checks. You know what I mean? These promises of the Bible are riches written on your name and signed by Jesus Christ that moment that you said for the first time yes to Jesus. And when you have never done it before, and when this hour, this moment, you say for the first time a real yes to Jesus, like a decision for him, then the angels rejoice, for you are very important in the eyes of God. But at the same moment, all the promises of the Bible are yours. And you have not to wait till you are a mature Christian or till you know very much. No, the riches is yours. All the promises of the Bible are in Jesus. Yea and amen. And so you must read your Bible as a love letter from God. And it is for you. Even when you are a babe of 5 minutes old, all the riches is yours. And one of the tremendous great riches that we have now in this time is the ocean of God's love. Not far away only in the heart of God in heaven, but shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And when I read Ephesians 3:14, then you can hear a little bit about it. When I think of the greatness of God's great plan, I fall on my knees before God the Father, from whom all fatherhood, earthly or heavenly, derives its name. And I pray that out of the glorious richness of his resources, he will enable you to know the strength of the Spirit's inner reinforcement, that Christ may actually live in your heart by your faith. This is the translation of Phillips. That's an English that even a Dutch can understand well. And I pray that you, firmly fixed in love yourself, may be able to grasp with all Christians how wide and deep and long and high is the love of Christ, and to know for yourself that love so far beyond our comprehension. May you be filled through all your being with God himself. Now to him who by his power within us is able to do far more than we ever dare to ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. You know, that ocean of love is available for you and me. In this time that we are living in a world full of bitter hatred. One of your bishops has said, we do not live in a neutral world. This world is not neutral. It is full of hatred or it is full of love. And it is, you belong to Jesus or you belong to Satan. And there is no compromise in between. It is all either. But the great joy that Jesus is the way. And when you know I am still living in the dark part of the world, Jesus has come to me and I will give you rest and peace. And do you know, I am so glad that the future is still far greater than what we have now. I can only see a little of the ocean when I stand at the rocky shore. But out there, beyond the ice horizon, there's more. And I can only see a little of the ocean of God's love. But out there in heaven, there's more. The best is yet to be. What a joy. And I have experienced this joy even when it was so dark that it could not be worse what you read in the book The Hiding Place and what you will see in the movie. It was so terrible. But the light of Jesus Christ was stronger. And Paul wrote once, when he was in a terrible prison, and he did not know what the enemy was going to do with him, and he wrote to his friends, I count everything as loss compared with the priceless privilege of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord and of progressively getting acquainted with him. And that's what I have experienced. I got more intimately acquainted with Jesus Christ. And that's why I can tell you in your life, whenever there are difficulties, Jesus is victor. And the best is yet to be. But it is not only that we must gather our riches for a future that can be difficult, but today you need it. And it is there. All the riches is available for these problems that you have with your children, with your husband, with your finances. These problems that made your heart heavy as a heavy bag. Jesus is the answer. And you have love to bring and to live in a world of hatred. And the Lord will use you for that. I will never forget when I was in Ravensbrück and I saw, I was in a room, it was built for 200 people. We had to live there with 700 people. We were packed together and suddenly people started to fight. Oh, that was dangerous. And immediately other people joined to fight and more people were swearing and crying and fighting. And Betsy said, Corrie, let's pray, for this is dangerous. And Betsy prayed. And it was as if a storm lay down and the noises were less. And at last, it was quiet. There was peace. And then Betsy said, Amen. Do you see the situation? Do you see here a room with 700 prisoners who were in great danger? For when the officers had found that they had been fighting, the whole group had been punished in a cruel way. And also they were in danger because their feelings of hatred were just more and more. And there was a weak, starving old woman. She starved. And she prayed. And do you see that Betsy, that that was a representative of heaven. And she was praying, and God used her to bring peace in this terrible room. And we must understand how God sees you and me, what he expects from you and me. When in Sodom there had been only 10 righteous people, Sodom should not have been destroyed. Do you know that God sees the world also in you? And that there's hope for this world because of you and me, because we are his ambassadors. And God sees us with joy. I read in Zephaniah 3 verse 17 that God was looking with joy on his children. And in the translation of the Little Bible it was, I thought that I heard a beautiful choir. But no, it was not a choir. It was God rejoicing over his children. Oh my, did you know that? That God so rejoices over you and me. That even when he so rejoices, we think it is a choir so beautiful. Oh, how good is it when the Lord answers the prayer that Paul prayed for the Colossians. I hope that God will keep you very close to your heart, to his heart, that you will see the things as it were from his point of view, and then you see the things from God's pattern, and there's hope. And then you see yourself in God's pattern, and there's hope for the world through you. And then you see the future. But in the meantime, we have not to fight with flesh and blood, but with the very representatives of headquarters of evil. And the devil tries to get this down. And we have many temptations, but there are always ways to escape. And you must not forget that when you pray, that he hears. Jesus heard when you prayed last night. He talked with God about you. Jesus was there when you fought your fight. He is going to help you through. Jesus knew when you shed those tears, so you did not weep alone. For the burden you thought too heavy to bear, he made it his very own. Jesus himself was touched by that trial which you could not understand. Jesus stood by as you almost fell and lovingly grasped your hand. Jesus cared when you bore that pain. Indeed, he bore it too. He felt each pain, each ache in your heart because of his love for you. Jesus was grieved when you doubted his love, but he gave you grace to go on. Jesus rejoiced as you trusted him, the most trustworthy one. His presence shall ever be with you. No need to be anxious or fret. Wonderful Lord, he was there all the time. He has never forsaken you yet. Hallelujah. Jesus was victor. He is victor. And he will be victor. And he will be coming again very soon. And he will make you and me in this time the light of a very dark world. So tremendous that who is it that overcomes the world? You who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That this is far more true than we can tell each other. Oh Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And we praise and thank you that you do not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. We praise and thank you that you have promised us, Jesus, you will have power when the Holy Spirit has come. And oh Lord, that ocean of love that is available, we praise and thank you for it. And now Lord, some of the people here, they know already much of you. They know the Bible, perhaps they go to the church, but they have never invited you, Lord Jesus, to come into their heart. Now listen, Lord, who at this moment says, yes, Jesus, come into my life. I've heard your voice. I too will have that victorious life. I will bring you my problems of sin and of death, and I know, I believe that you will answer it. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you have promised those who come to me, I will in no wise cast down or send away. And now listen, Lord, who of those who belong to you already a long time pray, Lord, take my life. I surrender everything. I surrender my children, my husband, my finances, my whole life. Take it over, Lord. I will lay my weak hand in your strong hand. Oh, Lord, and you will teach us not to worry, but to trust. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, my friends, when I was speaking so about the riches that we have in Jesus Christ, I had the idea that I could go on very long. There is so much to tell you from this word. But now, in that moment when I prayed and I gave you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus, I trust that many of you have done it. Now, we cannot counsel you now, but you need fellowship. I need fellowship. And if you had come here because a Christian friend has brought you, tell her what you have done. And don't be afraid and say, I have said yes to Jesus, and she will help you. Do you need any counseling? Write on that envelope what you get or what you have. Just a cross. And then we will take care that you get someone to visit you, who will listen to you when you have problems, who will pray with you perhaps, who will give you an address, where to go, or whatever you need. And don't be shy, for this is very important. And God bless you.